could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make them cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California, for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I am proud to welcome all of you this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch the limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I am pleased to welcome someone named Ellie Pope. Ellie, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Perfectly. I am so glad to have you here. We've been talking about you being on the show for quite a while.
I'm really excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited for you to be here. I've just gotten to know Ellie over the last number of months, so I'd like to introduce you to our listeners. Today we have Ellie Pope, who is an entrepreneur, business coach, and productivity expert who knows what it takes to get focused in a busy world. I think we're all familiar with a busy world, Ellie.
Yes.
In the past, Ellie was an engineer working for big companies like Qualcomm, Alcatel, and Nortel. This is where she learned to be productive and also where she learned how stress and overwork reduce work performance. Today, Ellie's real passion is helping entrepreneurs engineer strategies that tap into their own work potential and grow their businesses. Ellie doesn't teach time management or software tools. What she does is she teaches entrepreneurs how to work with their brains, minds, and emotions so they're fully focused while they work and also enjoy more time off. Well, I'm so happy to have you here, Ellie, and this topic is like so appropriate, I think, not only for business people, but I think for the planet. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. Everything, life has been going faster and faster. And if you notice how many more things we have to do now, you know, just trying to manage an email account, for instance, which we didn't have to do that 30 years ago. And the difference that that makes into our workload, it's huge.
Exactly. So, Ellie, how did you get interested from your amazing career as an engineer into productivity?
Wow. Well, As an engineer, I was one of those really, really highly productive people at first. And then I got a period where I got really overloaded. And what happened as I became more and more overloaded is I began to have difficulty thinking straight. You know, I would have all the intentions in the world. I would be sitting there at my desk with time cleared to work on something, but it's like I couldn't put the pieces together and make decisions. And I actually left that career thinking I didn't have what it takes anymore to do that. And then a few years later, or maybe only a year and a half later, I had this experience where that same thing happened to me again. But this time I got some advice to go to the spa. And, you know, not that everybody gets to go to the spa all the time, but the spa for me was the place where everything broke open because I went to the spa and I came back. And after 4 hours in the spa, I got more done in 45 minutes when I got back than I had in the previous 3 days.
And okay, Ellie. So wait a second here. So you're telling our listeners then to go to the spa to relax.
I know,
think that's a great health tip.
It really is. Anything that you do to relax.
Yes. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole lot of things that go on in the brain. You know, our brains do an awful lot of processing unconsciously. So when we're really, really focused on things, we can only see them from one angle. When we take our attention off of something and let a little bit of relaxation in, our brains can begin connecting different fields together. And that's where we'll get a whole lot of insights. This is why you'll get so many smart ideas in the shower.
Mm-hmm. And that's what people say, is that I talk to friends of mine and they always say, I get these big ahas when I'm in the shower.
Yeah. Yeah. In the shower, scientists joke about it being in the bed, in the bath, and on the bus. But basically, it does not actually happen at your desk. A lot of your wisdom only happens when you step away from your desk and stop working.
Hmm. Very interesting. And it's so important for us to actually get those downtimes to be able to be creative and move to the next level for ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. That's where we see the big picture. And so a lot of activities that are pleasurable, so things like gardening, cooking, listening to music, all these things will take us into more into the right brain. And the right brain tends to see the big picture, where the left brain sees the details. The right brain is more aware of the big picture. And then from the big picture, we find all kinds of shortcuts.
Hmm. So you're suggesting in this productivity world to tap into right, left brain.
Yes.
Very
yes,
cool.
Very much, and alternate between them.
Very cool. So you say you work mostly with entrepreneurs, but productivity, as I said earlier, it really affects everybody. It affects the whole planet. So what are the biggest challenges that you see people having in accomplishing their work?
You know, the very biggest thing that I see, we are so overloaded that what a lot of us do, you know, so that thing that happened to me as an engineer where I got so overloaded that I couldn't think straight, a lot of us, what happens is we do the really hard, important work as long as we can, but then we come to this point where our brain actually needs a break, but we feel like we can't stop. And so instead of stopping, we go and we turn and we do the what I call the easy work, you know, the stuff that you think, okay, well, at least I'll get my email inbox handled. The problem, though, is when we go do the easy work instead of actually stepping away, we keep ourselves from restoring the resources that we needed in order to be able to go back and do the hard work. And then we get stuck in this trap
mm-hmm.
where the harder we work and the harder that we keep trying to stay afloat by doing the easy work, the more we can't get back to the really difficult but very important work. I shouldn't say really difficult, but the stuff that takes our more attention. So the important work that would have gotten us out of the trap, we can't actually do until we restore the resources.
Hmm. I remember, Ellie, when my daughter was little going to school, I remember a teacher or somebody telling us that a student should pick the topic that's the most challenging for them to do when they first get home from school and then do the easier things as the evening goes on. Is that what you are sort of talking about here?
That's interesting, because when you first get home from school, I think you're kind of wiped out.
Well, yeah, take a break. You take the break first and
okay.
then do the hard. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, very much. Like, you know, if you first thing in the morning, if you do the things that you find challenging, often you've got a heck of a lot more resources at that time. Or anytime you come back from a really, you know, from a more extended break than just a little 2-minute bathroom break, then you've got your resources present. And most of us, you know, if we begin to pay attention, we can start to get a sense of when we're better at doing certain tasks. You know, there are some things where, or some times of the day when we're just a little bit more sociable and it makes sense to have our meetings then. And then there are other things which take a lot more thinking and focus, and we need to balance multiple ideas and to schedule ourselves to do those at those times and keep the meetings off the schedule at those times.
Mm-hmm. Would you think it would be valuable for each of us to learn? I hear this, I'm a morning person, I'm an evening person. How does that play into this role?
Oh, a lot. A lot. Yeah, because we've all got our own inner sense of rhythm and what works for us. I, for instance, am not an afternoon person, despite the fact that I'm here. I'm very good socially in the afternoon, but I don't think well in the afternoon. So I mostly work all morning, I take the afternoon off, and then I work the evenings.
Mm. Now, do you help people with finding out maybe if they're more morning or afternoon, or is that something that's...
Yes, I invite them to track that for a while. And that's something that your listeners can play with, is tracking, you know, when are you effective at what? And also, for how long are you effective at something? A lot of us think, you know, as an engineer, I always used to think, I'll put aside this great big 4-hour block to work on something. And then I would feel defeated before I even began because 4 hours was such a long time that I just didn't even really want to engage. When I began limiting it and bringing it down to something more like 40 minutes that I would work on something, suddenly it was a whole lot more interesting. And I got things done in a whole lot less time. And this is what my clients find as well. When we begin shortening their work periods, they produce things at a much faster clip.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Do you actually say to them, okay, I want you to do X project and I want you to do it in this time frame?
I'll say, I want you to work on it in this time frame and I want you to commit to an outcome, which they may or may not make. You know, they're gonna work their hardest towards making it. So they've got an end goal to move towards. But then part of the key is, you know, if you set a goal and you don't meet it, part of the key is there's absolutely no blame, shame, or make wrong. The idea of the goal is to help us decide the depth to which we want to do something. And sometimes just to reach that minimum depth means that, you know, we misestimate. And so one of the things about that is it begins to train you to understand how long things really take. And but it also trains you to cut out all those excess details. You know how things can take us way longer just because we're doing 100% quality instead of 95% when 95% really would have been adequate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Ellie, is there a relationship between attitude and productivity?
Yeah. Yeah, there have been all kinds of studies done that have consistently shown that happiness and a good attitude, positive thinking, leads to higher productivity. And it's interesting because a lot of us are waiting to be, we're waiting to get our work done before we go do the things that make us happy. But, you know, they've done studies, for instance, if people are exposed to certain words, which are more what I'm going to call positive versus negative, it actually impacts how much they can produce. And same thing, you know, salespeople who are optimistic produce something like 50% more sales than people who aren't. And they've done similar exercises with creativity, with being able to see opportunities. And so they did another study where they had people looking through a newspaper to count advertisements and partway into the, or not to count advertisements, but to, actually I forget what they were looking for, but it doesn't matter. Partway through, the people who were in a more positive frame of mind noticed that there was a sign telling them when they got to a certain point to stop. The other people didn't. And they just kept on going. It's like they were so focused that they missed big picture signs, whereas the ones who were more happy and more present to opportunity saw them. And so they were able to find the shortcuts and finish things up faster.
What about when you know that you have, you know, all these tasks to do and your brain sort of might shut off a little bit? What do you suggest to your clients? How do you work through that?
So a couple of things that you just said there. One is having all sorts of tasks. So it could be because you've got all sorts of tasks, or the other one could be that you've already worked for a while. So I'll just separate those. When we've got a whole bunch of tasks, one of the things that makes us really hard for us to focus is we will sit down, people will sit down and they'll look at their to-do list right before they're about to do their work. And the interesting thing is if you've got a whole bunch of things on your to-do list, it puts your brain into kind of a mode where it's trying to solve all of them. So it scatters your attention. And this is why if you look at your to-do list right before you sit down to focus, suddenly you'll find yourself unable to focus. So I tell people, never look at your, figure out what you're going to do before your block of time. And then when you sit down for your block of time, you've got one thing to focus on.
Okay, so in other words, just be very much more focused on one task versus the whole list, and then be and give yourself an acknowledgement even for focusing and getting that one task done.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And don't even look at the list in there. Don't pick your task right before you sit down, because the act of picking your task is one of the things that can really mess up your focus.
Ellie, we're going to be taking a break, a very short break in about a minute. So before we take that break, briefly, what then should somebody do? Because I know myself, I write my list of my tasks that I'm going to do, and I check them off, or I'm just thrilled when I get everything done. Can you briefly tell us, we'll start here and then we'll finish up after the break.
But what's the question in there? So
the question is, if people should not keep their list so they don't forget what to do, what is your suggestion that they should do?
I'm saying do keep a list, but pick your one item before your focus time.
I see. Got it. Great.
Yeah, do your planning ahead.
Do your planning ahead. Okay, great. Well, we're about to take a break, and we'll be back with Ellie in just a little bit.
Glad you're able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guest a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
I'd like to welcome everybody back to our radio show, Attitude Adjustment. And we have today with us Ellie Pope, who is a productivity expert. And we have just been talking about how happiness helps productivity, about your attitude about productivity. And now, Ellie, if you can just tell our listeners a little bit about what should they do if they get really stuck. I mean, we're talking about you get really stuck and they have something they just have to get done and they just can't afford to take the time away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a big one. Because one of the things that happens for us when we get really, really stuck is a lot of times we'll go and we'll generate fear, right? Like there's already some fear that exists just because of the consequences, but a lot of times we'll add fear on top of it. And fear is designed to make you move, right? It takes blood from the brain down to the body to make you move rather than having you think straight. So there's a few things for people who can stand up and do some of their work to actually stand up, try standing up and see if you can create from there. That can make a really big difference. Another one is to work in those bursts that I was talking about a minute ago. I didn't call them that, but when I was saying to work for 40 minutes at a time, especially when somebody is really stuck and I'm going to say procrastinating, I don't like that word, but they're feeling a lot of resistance towards what they're doing. Mm-hmm. To schedule a short block, you know, something that's very doable, maybe 20 minutes or something, very often is enough to break the logjam. And then there's this sense of being off the hook after 20 minutes and being able to let go and relax. It's kind of like running a sprint and now you can stop and breathe for a second. And then 20 minutes later, re-engage so that you can keep restoring the resources. And the other thing that I would add in there, there's this great Buddhist expression that you should meditate for 20 minutes a day, unless you think you don't have time, and then you should meditate for 60 minutes a day.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. You know, what's so funny is that I just started meditating just this year, since 2013. And it has just been very, very amazing. I love it.
Beautiful.
So that's interesting that you said that.
And do you find that when you think you don't have time for the meditation is when you need it the most?
Absolutely.
And when it makes the biggest difference.
But I'm finding, and this is great for our listeners for health, is I'm finding that before I get out of bed in the morning, I meditate. So it calms down my whole nervous system, and I'm ready to take on the day in a very focused manner.
This is why you're so productive.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also, Ellie, you just mentioned a number of great things, but you did say the word fear. And sometimes fear stands in our way. And I'd like to share what fear actually stands for. F in fear is false, E, evidence, A, appearing real. So fear is really a false evidence appearing real. And if we can get through that from what you were just talking about, that would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And just getting up and walking around very often discharges, because fear, if you think about it, fear puts your body into a position where it's ready to spring for a fight or a flight. And just being able to get up and walk around can help discharge some of that energy, and then you can begin to think straighter again.
Absolutely. So, Ellie, if someone would like to contact you, how can they reach you?
Well, I have my website, which is productivitypoolside.com. I've also got my email, which is Ellie, E-L-L-I-E, at productivitypoolside.com. And more interestingly, for your listeners who are here today or in a replay in the next few days, I'm going to be doing a live webinar next week about how to put an end to overwhelm and double your productivity. And that's really the result that people have gotten out of doing this work, is doubling their productivity. And if you'd like to register for that, I've got a special landing page for it, which is endoverwhelm.info.
So could you repeat that? End?
Yeah, end, E-N-D, overwhelm.info.
Very good. Very good. Okay. So if someone is looking to create more happiness and improve their productivity, what areas would you suggest they look at?
So very often when somebody is there, something's lacking in their productivity, very often there's an area of their life that's not actually getting enough attention and they're not fulfilled enough in. So if you think about the four basic areas of life, intellectual, that's usually covered by work, but very often not. And so looking for what would stimulate them intellectually, whether it's, you know, great books, you know, what are the things that interest them in terms of ideas? Another one is social. You know, a lot of people, they spend all day working at their desk and then they're tired. And so they just watch TV as a way to come down, but then they're not getting that social stimulation that would restore them back to being fully effective. Another one is physical. Again, like getting the blood moving through the body. You can probably talk about this a whole lot, but getting the blood moving clarifies your thinking. And that's going to be able to have you connect and put ideas together a whole lot more. And then, of course, spiritual. You know, a lot of people, when they get way too busy, the first thing that goes out the window is their spiritual practice. And for somebody who has a spiritual practice, that's a big deal. And for people who don't have a, quote, spiritual practice, they still very often have something bigger than themselves that calls to them, whether it's going to the ocean or the mountains, you know, being out in nature somehow, but getting connected with something beyond the day-to-day grind and something that's bigger than themselves.
That's wonderful. So let's review that. You said number one was intellectual.
Mm-hmm. Not like top priority. That's probably lower priority, but yes, intellectual.
Okay. Social.
Social.
Physical.
Yes.
And spiritual. Yes. Is there a certain one that you suggest as the number one of those
it
four?
It depends a lot on what somebody's missing. If somebody's already got a ton of social interaction in their work, I wouldn't start there. I would probably look more at physical. That's the area that a lot of us are missing, is physical or spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that sounds great. So, Ellie, the name of my radio show, it's called Attitude Adjustment, as you know. And I always like my listeners to leave with two ways they can improve their attitude. So from your background, would you like to share two ways that, in your opinion, our listeners can improve their attitude?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one is to put something in your schedule that you're looking forward to. So when you put something in, and so this is to help their attitude and also to help their productivity. I consider those hand in glove. when you put something in your schedule that you're looking forward to, you anticipate it for a while. And what that does is it activates the pleasure center in the brain, which helps you be more productive. So scheduling something that you're looking forward to, whether it's a really nice meal out or time with your spouse or time to get out to the ocean, I say that because we're in San Diego, mm-hmm. that's a really big one. The next one, I'm going to give you three. The next one.
That's great.
Well, the next one is just a mindset. And it's a mindset of knowing that your attitude, how you feel, is actually a resource for your productivity. And so when you begin relating to how you feel and your happiness as a resource to your for your productivity, instead of something that you get after you've been productive, you begin putting a priority on it, which then, of course, has you get more productive. Mm-hmm. And then the third one is, it's just a little trick that I give people when they're working in order to help them be more present. And that is, you know, when you're stuck in your head and it's going round and round and round and you're in that overwhelmed place, to take a minute out and to listen to sounds. So it's not even, you know, it is a meditation practice in the sense that you're letting your mind go quiet. But in getting more specific about listening to sounds, you don't have to try to manage the thoughts so much. The act of tuning into your ears has you pay attention all by itself. And then what that does is it helps your mind release some of the churning that was going on. And then from there, you can come back a whole lot fresher.
Oh, that was great. Interesting that you said that, because the first one you said, something in your schedule to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I was going to mention that earlier as we were talking, but we were going in so many directions that was so fascinating. I didn't want to interrupt you. But that is something that I've noticed has really helped me with my day that's so long and I have lots of different things going on. And I noticed that when I put something in my future that I go, wow, I'm going to take this little trip, or I'm going to do something with my family or my husband or whatever it is, I notice that I get more done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It activates the neurotransmitter dopamine, and we need to have the right amount of dopamine to focus, but it will elevate dopamine, which will increase focus if you're low, which is where a lot of us are a lot of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Ellie, we do have a few minutes left before we close. What else can someone learn about your work? What other ideas or what else would you like to share with our guests, with our listeners?
I think the biggest thing, so I've said this in a few different ways, but I'm just going to drive it home a little bit more clearly. Consider that your happiness and your renewal of your energy is a matter of your integrity in what you're doing. When you take it on at that level of, you know, this isn't just a little benefit that comes after. When you begin putting that first, everything else falls into place and follows through. Mm. And it has you clear out the thing that I was saying earlier about how when we get overloaded, what we do is we go and pick up a whole lot of extra work. We finish up doing all the easy work and we finish up doing more of it than what actually needed to be done because we hadn't restored our resources enough to be discerning about it and to cut it out.
It sounds like to me you're talking a lot about balance.
Yeah, but you know, balance, when people talk about balance, a lot of times when they say that, they mean you've got to have balance so that you don't let work wreck your personal life. And I'm actually saying it from a different angle of look after your personal life so that your work gets looked after.
Very interesting, because so many of us do not do that. It's just the complete opposite.
Exactly.
Very cool. Very, very, very cool. Anything else, something very short that you'd like to share?
Let me think. I would love to have people come join this webinar next
yes.
week, Wednesday the 22nd, endoverwhelm.info. And there, what I'm going to be showing is exactly the neurochemistry. If you think about it, here's what I really want people to know. When you're having difficulty focusing, it is not a function of weakness or low willpower or laziness. It's a function of something that's going on in your brain that's keeping you from being able to focus. And when you can get to understand that, then you've got access to be able to create it when you want.
I love it. Okay. Well, it has truly been a treat to have you on our show today. You can reach Ellie once again by going to her website, Ellie, which is spelled E-L-L-I-E. That's Ellie at productivepoolside.com.
Productivitypoolside.com.
Oh, productivitypoolside, thank you, .com. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific time and 5 p.m. Eastern time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We are looking forward to our next show on Tuesday, May 28th, with Janet Martin, who is an attorney, and she's going to share with us the importance of health directives. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is dr.iris@earthlink.net, and my website is www.driris.com. And I always leave with a special quote. Today's quote is, "It's what we learn after we think we know it all that counts." Have a beautiful day.
Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone will jingle, door.